We want to say thank you for having us. We've enjoyed this. Look there in Matthew chapter 20, if you will, in verse 1. Matthew chapter 20, in verse 1. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last hath wrought but 1 hour, but thou hast made them equal unto us, which hath borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Father, thank you for the blessing you've given us today. And thank you for the privilege of being in your house, Lord. It's always such an honor to be in church, Lord, and to serve you, Lord. And it's such an honor to be one of your children. Thank you, Lord. Pray that you'll give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, and whatever said and done will be of honor and glory to you. And if there be one here today that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them and they'll come to know you today the way that we know you. And if there's one here that needs to walk closer and be more of what you'd have us to be, Lord, I pray that we'll do that, Lord, make that commitment to be more of what you'd have us to be. Forgive us for our many sins, our many shortcomings. For all these, I ask in our Son's blessed holy name. Amen. I was debating and praying over two different messages, and the Lord just kind of led me this direction at the last minute. So that you kind of have to just do what the Lord tells you to do in a case like that. Amen. But you know, I remember over the years, I have a lot of good memories of going to the mission field. I have been going to Mexico on missions trips down there for many years. Now, I haven't been in several years because it's so rough down there and it's so dangerous to go down there. But I have memories of going down there with those missionaries and going to what we call Cardboard City, and pretty much everybody in that town lives in a cardboard box. And those places like that. And I used to team up with a bush pilot, and we would go down there into the parts of Mexico that even the Mexicans haven't seen. Aztec Indians and Maya Indians and things like that. And some of those villages, you'd have to ride on a horse for 3 or 4 days. That was the only way to get in there, or to go by plane. And so we went by plane, and we'd always land in a cow pasture or something like that, and rough landings. And sometimes we would, land somewhere and be surrounded by armed soldiers, things like that. Now, if you think I can pick the banjo fast now, you ought to see me with a machine gun pointed at me. Man, I can get with a program in a case like that. Amen. I like going down there with a banjo, because you know what, preacher, I can drag out a banjo at any given time and just pick a little bit, and in a matter of minutes, I've got a crowd. They love music to start with, but they've never seen a banjo. Then most of them, the only banjo they've ever seen is on the Beverly Hillbillies they get in Spanish down there. That's been the extent of it. So I drag out a banjo in a matter of minutes. I've got 20, 30, 40 people standing around me. Man, then you preach to them. And so I've got fond memories of it. I love doing stuff like that. That was just always so much fun. And some of those crusades we'd do down there in Zacatecas, or down on the lower end of Mexico down there. And what's amazing, you're just a few miles from all those tourist resorts, but yet you're in the jungle. It's absolutely amazing with those Mayan Indians. And I got to see a lot of those old statues and places of sacrifice where they did human sacrifices and things like that. And so really, really was neat. But we'd have crusades down there and have 2,000 or 3,000 of them show up at a service. And then give the altar call and have hundreds of them come and get saved. Boy, it's amazing. Boy, that gets in your blood, preacher. I love that kind of stuff. But you know, when we were in the Spanish villages, one thing I always noticed, it didn't matter whether it be a small village or a big town or what have you, there's always a place in the center of town where there would be park benches and tables and things like that, usually under a big shade tree. And there was always men hanging around those park benches. And I couldn't figure out what that was all about. So I asked one of the missionaries, I said, what is this? What's going on there? He said, well, those are day laborers. That's what their job is. They come, they don't have a regular job. They come and they stay under that tree, and everybody in the area knows that that's what they do. And if they need extra help doing running their business or work for the day, they come and they hire them to come and work for the day. And I thought it was a great idea. Amen. I'd rather see them do that than begging for money when they don't need it. Somebody say amen. Now that's another message within itself. But anyhow, I saw that in the United States. My in-laws owned a business there in Denton, Texas for years. And on several occasions I would be with them and they would need some extra help. Same thing. Go to the center of town. There's a place there. And they were just hanging around. They'd hire two or three of them to come and work for the day. I thought it was a great system. I really did. Well, basically that's what we see here in this particular passage of Scripture. Is that it's this farmer is ready to get the crops in, and that's very important in the life of a farmer when it comes time to get the crops in, because you've got to get them in, or that's your livelihood. Well, in our part of the country we have a lot of crops. We have it's mostly pecans and peaches. Now we say pecans where I come from. Now my wife, being from Texas, they're a little more refined over there. They say pecans, pecans. We say pecans. Now, if you look that up in the Redneck Dictionary, pecan is something we used to put under the bed at night time. Now, some of y'all get that. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've been there and done that, amen? But anyhow, time to get the crops in. So he goes into town, and he makes an arrangement with the first group of guys that he comes with to come and work for a penny a day. And then he sees he needs more help, and he goes in town four more times, and he hires different groups of guys to come and work for him, but they do not discuss money. Now, I don't know if it's because they knew him and they just trusted him or what have you, but they came and they worked with him for their labor. But anyhow, at the end of the day, when it comes time to pay him, he pays each one of them a penny a day. Now, that's probably pretty good money then, I assume. Pays them a penny a day. Well, the first group of guys take issue with that. They say, listen, we've been here all day long, and some of these guys have only been here an hour, and we've worked through the heat of the day, through the long part of the day, and we really think we need to get paid more than that. Well, he says, listen, I'm going to give you what I agreed to give you. I'm going to be fair to you. This is what we made the arrangement for. I did you no wrong. Take your money and go on. Well, I entitle this message, it's very, very simple. If you're taking notes, write this down. I entitle this, Let's Make a Deal. Let's make a deal. I mean, is that not where we're at in our country today? Now, I'm not talking about the TV show, but we're in a place in our country where that seems like what people want to do, make deals with God. Now, I see four warning signs in this particular passage of Scripture that we Christians need to pay close attention to. It applies to today's time. But write this down. Beware of bargaining with God. Beware of bargaining with God. Lord, I'll serve you if you fill in the blank. Lord, I'll serve you if the weather's good. I'll come to church if the weather's good. Lord, I'll come to church if it's not too hot. Lord, I'll come to church if it's not deer season. Sometimes it goes the other way with the weather. I'll come to church if the weather's bad, because if it's good weather, I'm going to the lake. Hello? Well, listen, friend, nobody likes to fish and hunt any more than I do. But it is not going to happen on Sundays. It's just not going to happen on Sundays. And the Lord always blesses me. I catch fish and I kill deer. Yeah. Amen? Lord bless me with those things. Now, I'm just telling you, you can do it on other days and not God's day. It does not have to happen. Put God first, and He'll bless it on those times when you do get to go. That's just the way that works. Lord, I'll come to church if they have food. Hello. Now that's, we Baptists, we think highly of eating. Amen. That's kind of a Baptist tradition. we like our ice cream. Amen. We like our food. We like these eating meetings. We like this stuff. And those are all great and wonderful. Matter of fact, in our part of the country, they have, churches have what they call homecomings. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And basically what they do is they take one Sunday a year and they invite all the previous pastors and they invite all the previous members that used to be a member there, and they all come have a big Sunday and they have dinner on the grounds, and they, I don't know why they call it dinner on the grounds, they have dinner on the grounds and they have singing and preaching, and it kind of goes into the mid-afternoon. And you always have those people that show up that never contribute anything. Hello? They don't bring any food. They don't contribute to what's going on, and they're the first ones to say amen and shout hallelujah. And then when it gets time to go, it's time to go home that afternoon, they load their plates up with food and take it home for supper. And you know where they're at the next weekend? The next church down the road is having homecoming. Hello? But Lord, I'll show up for the food. I'll show up if there's a gospel singing going on. Yeah. Lord, I'll show up if they play the kind of music at church that I like. Hello? If you have the what I prefer, I'll never anything about what's being done scripturally, but what the spiritual food is being put out there. It's always, Lord, I'll come to church if you meet me on my terms. We don't meet God on our terms. We meet Him on His terms. And by the way, you ought to thank God that you've got a church like the one that you have where your preacher is concerned about what goes from the pulpit. It matters. It matters what church you go to. It matters what doctrine you sit under.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen. Thank God you've got a church and a preacher that's going to preach it to you straight.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all thank the Lord for that. So beware of bargaining, making deals with God. God, I'll serve you if you'll give me what I want. I call that, these people go around looking at different churches and they're always looking for what I'm going to get out of it. And by the way, that really does hurt the small church. It does. I remember my dad was a pastor, and he'd have a family. He'd lead them to the Lord. They'd get grounded, they'd get plugged in, serving the Lord. And then one day they'd come to him and say, "Brother Lee, so we want to go to the church down the street. They've got more to offer our teenagers." Breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. No, and it's never because they're getting fed spiritually or anything like this, because they were getting fed spiritually where they were at. But it's always over something. They've got more activities for our teenagers. So, you know, the best thing you can do is join a church because of what you're going to get spiritually out of it. I mean, that's what you need. And by the way, those deals, God may give you what you ask for. He may give you what you ask for. But that might not be what God's got in store for you, what He's got planned for you. You see, I don't want what my little feeble human finite mind could come up with. I don't want to pray for that. I don't want to ask for that. I want God to give me what He's got in store for me. Because He's got much greater things in store for me than what I can conjure up in my mind. Somebody say amen. So those deals may not be what you want them to be, what you think they are. It's kind of like the young fellow that worked in a clothing store. A fabric store, yeah, fabric store. I'm not awake good this morning, amen. And, but you know, he sees this young lady out there, and she's a beautiful young lady, and he thinks, man, I'd like to meet her. Well, after a little bit, she comes to him, and she says, "How much is this fabric?" He says, "For you, it's a kiss a yard." She says, "Well, okay." So she goes back to shopping, and he goes back to the bathroom. He brushes his teeth, and he combs his hair, puts some deodorant on, all these things, and by the time he gets out to the cash register, well, there she stands. And he says, "Well, how about my payment?" And she steps to one side, and there's this little old lady standing behind her. She said, "Granny's going to pay today." So sometimes them bargains are not what you think they are, amen? Now, look at this. Beware of watching people. Beware of watching people. Lord, you've blessed me far beyond what I deserve. Lord, and I know this. But Lord, I sure would like to have some of what Brother so-and-so's got over there. I'd like to have some of that. Lord, I don't understand it. I worked three jobs just to make ends meet. By the way, I gave up on my ends meeting years ago. I'm just happy they wave at each other occasionally.
Amen.
You know, Lord, I don't understand. I work so hard to stay above water, and brother so-and-so over there, he only has one job, but he's got a cabin on the lake, got a big bass boat. They take 6 vacations a year. I sure would like to have what they've got over there. Lord, I know you blessed me, but I want what they got, some of what they've got. You know, the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. And the Lord knows what He can trust us with. And you know, it could be that the Lord knows that if He gave you more, that you'd quit coming to church. If you had that bass boat, you wouldn't come to church. Hello? The Lord might know that if He gave you more, that you'd quit supporting missions. You quit tithing. Quit doing the things you know you're supposed to do. But you know, it's real simple. I'm going to tell you how to get more. It's real simple. Be a faithful steward of what God's given you now. And even if you, not only if you'll be faithful with that, you'll find yourself being happy with what God's given you. And if He doesn't give you more, you're happy with it. You're content. You understand what I'm saying? But if you'll be faithful with what He's given you more, giving you now, He'll give you more. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, we older people, we can say amen right here. We've got more now than we've ever had. Amen? And God has been good for us. We ain't got no business looking at somebody else saying, Lord, I want what they've got. Yep. Be happy with what God's given you. Amen? I like telling stories, but this probably doesn't have a whole lot to do with the message. But I'm going to tell you anyhow. This older fellow went into to the doctor for a checkup. And the doctor said, yeah, you look pretty good, but you stand to lose some weight. Don't you love these doctors? It don't matter what you go in for, they tell you to lose some weight. I could have stayed at home and been told that. I could figure that out on my own. You can lose some weight. He said, let me sign you up for some senior citizens aerobics. He said, I never heard of it, but sign me up. So he signed him up for senior citizens aerobics. And he went to the aerobics class, and he came home that afternoon. His wife said, well, how'd the aerobics class go? He said, I don't think I can do that. He said, man, I pull muscles, I stretch, and I hurt. And he said, by the time I got the leotards on, the class was over with. Now, some of y'all can relate like I can, amen? Now, look at this. Beware of supposing that you deserve something. Let me run that by you again. Beware of supposing that you deserve something. You see, we deserve nothing. Matter of fact, we deserve less than that. We deserve hell. Somebody told me one time, I want what I deserve. You don't have a clue what you're saying. You deserve hell. But, you know, thanks to grace and mercy, we don't have to worry about hell. And, you know, and that's something that many people get confused on. That's grace and mercy. You hear us preachers use those terms, grace and mercy. Here's a good quote you need to put in your Bible. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And grace is getting what we could never deserve. Let me run that by you again. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's hell. Grace is getting what you could never deserve. That's heaven and salvation. Amen? So I want grace and mercy in my life. I don't want what I deserve. Now, you know, I remember a number of years ago, I was preaching a revival meeting down in South Texas. And there was a young fella that got saved as a result of that revival meeting. And to make a long, very long story short, he's now the pastor of that church. And he's one of my fishing buddies. And I heard him one day, we was fishing, and he said, man, I remember that night you was preaching, and he said, and you said something that made me so mad. He said, I had full intentions of meeting you behind the church and cleaning your clock. And I'm thinking, boy, he's a big old dude. He could hurt me bad. And I'm sure glad he didn't, amen? And I'm glad the Holy Spirit intervened somewhere. And I asked him, I said, well, what did I say that made you so mad? He said, you called me a dirty, rotten sinner. I said, wasn't nobody going to call me a dirty, rotten sinner. He was one of the worst guys in the area. Bad dude. He really was. And I told him, I said, well, let me tell you a little secret. You're still a dirty, rotten sinner. Yep. There ain't but two kinds of people. There's saved dirty, rotten sinners and lost dirty, rotten sinners.
Amen.
There ain't but two of us. Amen? Yeah. You know, and we still deserve hell, even though we've been saved. But thank God for grace and mercy.
Amen?
Amen? And we need to go to the lost, dirty, rotten sinners and say, the only difference between me and you is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it comes down to. So don't suppose that we deserve something because we don't. The Bible teaches me the best we can ever do is this dirty, rotten, filthy grave clothes in the eyes of God. So don't suppose that we deserve something because we don't. One more and I'll be through. Beware of overlooking the needs of others. You see, there's probably a small town where this farmer was at, and he probably knew everybody. And probably that second, third, fourth group, fifth group that he talked to about coming to work for him, it's very probable that he knew them. Some of them might have been hard up for money, been trying to get a job, trying to put food on the table to feed their families and take care of business. And he might have thought, man, I'm going to help them out. I'm going to give them a job for the day. Matter of fact, he might have regretted hiring that first group of people. Because, you know, if they were complaining at the end, they probably wasn't doing that good a job to start with. So it's very probable he thought, man, I want to be a blessing to these guys here. You know, in most of the churches we go to now, they have 30 to 50% of their congregation coming back due to COVID. Then you've always got that crowd that just left, not ever going to come back. We've always had that crowd on the fringes that it just doesn't take much for them to leave. Dr. Rick Carter made a statement one time. He said, it never ceases to amaze me how small the thread is that ties a church member to his church. And sometimes it don't take much for them to just leave. So you've got that crowd. But thank God for you that's here this morning. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Thank God for you. But in order for us to rebuild our churches and get back where we need to be, we've got to roll up our sleeves and go back to work. Tell others about Jesus. See the needs of others. If you've got a neighbor that needs some grass cut while he was on vacation, go cut it. Hello? You know somebody that needs some groceries on their table? Take them a bag of groceries or more. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And when they get ready to come to church, you know what church they're going to come to? They're going to come to your church. We've got to see the needs of others and do more than just say, I'm praying for you or I'm doing this. That's very important. We need to do that. But we need to put, like my mama used to say, put some feet to those prayers. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And see the needs of others, a lost and dying world. They need something that's real. They need something that's genuine. Quit bargaining. Now, I'm going to close with this. There's basically three deals on the table here. You may be here today and say, Brother Dave, no deal. I came in here. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I plan on leaving the same way I came. Now, friend, the only thing we can do for you is pray that the Holy Spirit does not leave you alone till you get saved and love you. That's all we can do is love you and pray for you. We can't help you beyond that. Or you may be here and say, Brother Dave, what's in it for me? What's in it? What do I get out of it? If you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you get a better lifestyle. Yeah. Amen? You get to know the Lord. You get an eternity in heaven. There's a whole lot of things that goes along with that. Matter of fact, you don't even understand it till you've trusted Christ. And even then, I don't understand it still. I don't understand how such a great God can love somebody like me. It goes that far. So you may be here and say, what I get out of the deal? And you got those people at church shop around churches all in the area. They're looking for the best deal they're going to get. What I get out of it. I call that church shopping. In other words, church shopping for the best bargain, best deal. Quit doing that. Just look for somewhere where you're going to get fed spiritually, like here. Amen? Now, here's the third deal. And this is the deal that God wants to make with us. You may think, Brother Dave, I didn't know God wanted to make a deal. You just said quit making deals and bargaining with God. Well, this is the deal that God wants to make with us. It's when we come to Him and we say, Lord, I'm giving you my life as an open contract. Lord, you just fill in the blanks where you want me to go. I'll sign the bottom. You see, Lord don't want us all to be missionaries, doesn't want us all to be pastors, doesn't want us all to be evangelists, but He wants you to be willing to be that if that's what He wants. See, the sad part about that is so many Christians never get to that point in their Christian walk. They never get to that point where they say, Lord, I'll sign the contract. You just tell me where you want me to go and what you want me to do. Whatever it is. I don't care what it is. And you know what? That's a major milestone in the life of the child of God. And you know what? You'll experience a peace that you've never known when you get there too. Because it's like, Lord, it's whatever. You learn to trust God with everything. When you get to that point, you just give it all to Him. You trust Him with everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what comes along.
Amen.
That's a major milestone. Quit making deals with the Lord and just trust Him.
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't that good? Let's all stand and keep our head bowed and our eyes closed as the family comes. And maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Dave, I'm saved and I know that I'm saved. Not a doubt in my mind. But Brother Dave, I don't remember ever just turning it all over to the Lord and trusting Him like that. We sing that song, only trust Him. But do we really? But do we really? We don't want to embarrass you. We just want to see you go to the next phase in your Christianity, in your Christian walk. And see you trust the Lord more. And, you know, if we all be honest with ourselves, we probably can all trust Him a little bit more. Slip your hand up and say, Brother Dave, that's me. Would you pray for me? Yes, amen. 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 A lot of hands. Wow, bless your heart. That's the truth. That's the first step in getting anything done is realizing I need to go to the next step. I need to go to the next level. And maybe there's somebody can say, Brother Dave, I can't say that. I'm 100% sure if I die that I would go to heaven. But I sure would like to be. Let me tell you something, friend. There are people in this room right now with their head bowed and their eyes closed that are praying for you. And I want to say, first of all, that somebody will pray for you, somebody that loves you. Because you know what? We stood where you're standing at one time. And I sure am glad somebody prayed for me. I'm glad that somebody took the time to take the Word of God and show me how I could know I was saved and on my way to heaven. And that's what we want to do to you today. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to single you out. We love you. We want to see you do what's right. We want you to come to know Jesus the way we know Him. Slip your hand up and say, Brother Dave, would you pray for me? Anybody? Yes, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, amen. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for Calvary. Lord, I'm glad that you saved an old sorry wretched sinner like me. Lord, I thank you for loving me. And Lord, I look back over the years, been saved a lot of years now. Lord, I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. Lord, those that raise their hands saying they were unsure about being saved, Lord, I pray that they'll come and let somebody show them how they can know that they're a child of the King today. And it's so simple, Lord, what they have to do to become that. And we want to show them from your word how they can know they're saved today. And others that raise their hands saying they want to go to the next level in their Christian walk, Lord, I pray that we'll see a little taste of revival meeting here today. Forgive us for our many sins, our many shortcomings. For all these, asking our Son's blessed holy name. Amen. I want the preacher to stand down front.